This is Drew Mackey, and you're listening to Singing Mountain. What you're hearing now is the theme music of Chung, a playable character in the SNK fighting game Savage Raid. He's the mystical old man fighter type, in the vein of Tung Fu Ru from Fatal Fury or Caffeine Nicotine from Samurai Showdown. And yeah, if you're just learning now that there's a video game character named Caffeine Nicotine, you're welcome. This is not an episode about fighting games. This is actually an episode about China and Chinese music and how these things are represented in video games. Full disclosure, I am not an expert on China or Chinese music. Episode 33 was my all Game Boy music episode, and in it I mentioned that there were some tracks I left off because I wanted to go into more depth on them, and that episode kind of ran a little long as is. One of the resulting episodes was the Donkey Kong Land episode, and this is the other one. It concerns a track that comes from Super Mario Land and that I instantly loved the first time I heard it and that has been playing in my head all these decades later. It's the background music for Chai Kingdom, the last of the four kingdoms Mario explores in Super Mario Land. Have a listen. So that was the Chai Kingdom theme, composed for Super Mario Land by Hirokazu Tanaka. Chai Kingdom seems to be inspired by China, or ancient China, at least. The backgrounds are decorated with what seems to be bamboo, and there's these generic enemies you face only in the Chai Kingdom levels that are inspired by Jiangshi, which are the hopping Chinese vampires you see in Chinese movies sometimes. Shenko from Darkstalkers is a very stylized example of a Jiangshi. So yeah, all that, and then there's also the music. One quick aside before I get into the music, actually. Have you guys ever thought about how weird Super Mario Land is? And like, not weird in the sense that like, the Koopa Troopas are actually bombs and that they made a princess who looks just like Peach but isn't Peach, she's differently colored Peach and they named her Daisy. It's weird in that it was inspired by real life locations in a way Mario games really weren't before. Think about it, the first stage is obviously ancient Egypt, the second stage is called Muda Kingdom, and it's like watery, and I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be Bermuda, as in the Bermuda Triangle. Then you have Eastern Kingdom, which is full of the stone-faced statues and is inspired by Easter Island. And all three of those are real-life locations that have some sort of like mysterious semi-paranormal associations. And maybe that makes sense because the big bad in this game is Tatanga, the space alien. And Maybe that's also to tie together, but then I don't understand China being the last level. Do you? It's weird, right? Okay, back to the music. If you didn't already know that Chai Kingdom was inspired by real-life China, there's actually a tip-off in the music itself. Let me play the first 9 notes for you. You know what this is. If you grew up watching cartoons or playing video games or really just like observing pop culture in any form, you probably know that this little melody is what we use to signify Asian-ness. The most famous example is the song Kung Fu Fighting by Carl Douglas.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning.
And that song is specifically trying to evoke Chinese culture. However, if you listen to the song Turning Japanese by The Vapors, you hear it again. And forgive me for making an obvious point, but Turning Japanese is not about China, it's about Japan. Or it's actually about a rude stereotype about Japan, but the thing I'm concerned with at the moment is the nations that are being referred to. You can hear something very similar in David Bowie's China Girl. And then you can hear it again in the song Japanese Boy by Amnika, which I'll just say, like, I guess trigger warning, but this is a baffling pop culture artifact today because apparently people didn't know about the word appropriation back in 1981. The woman who sings this song is not only not Japanese, she is so white that she is Scottish. Seriously, just Google the music video and be awed by how tacky it is. I guess tacky is one word you could use to describe it. At the same time, anyone who's played Grand Theft Auto Vice City probably already knows this song and knows it's also catchy as hell, so sorry if I get it stuck in your head. Perhaps a surprising place you can hear this little melody, or like a variation on this melody, is in one of the most famous cartoon themes ever that also happens to show up a lot in video games. I knew I was making this episode when the Mercado brothers put out their Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles music episode, and in it they talk about how often those game soundtracks reference the cartoon theme song, and in particular the part where the lyrics go, "Heroes in a half shell, turtle power." I'm a bad singer, so please just ignore that. This little bit actually plays like a truncated version of the melody I was playing for you earlier. Instead of it's and that makes sense if you're thinking about it because Ninja Turtles was taking bits of Asian culture and repackaging them for an American audience. I don't know if the guy who wrote this song was consciously thinking about that when he put that in the song, but it's just so prevalent that he might have put it in the song without actually even thinking about it, because that just seemed like the obvious melodic structure to use. The guy who wrote the song, by the way, is Chuck Lorre, the guy who created 2.5 Men and like every other CBS sitcom. I only recently learned this. I learned this from the Mercado Brothers Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles podcast. Listen to it. It was a pretty fun episode. But yeah, weird that he would have written the Ninja Turtles theme song and then had a whole separate, even more successful career, right? Yeah, it's weird. So why does this thing exist? This series of notes that certain cultures hear and associate with some version of Asia? Well, the specific origins are unclear, but at the very least, the popularity of it and the reason you've heard of it, kind of cultural ignorance? It's cultural ignorance. In 2014, NPR's Code Switch team, which covers matters relating to race, ethnicity, and culture, did a great piece on this melody, which it comes to call the Far East proto-cliché. Though if you're looking around online, you'll also hear it called the Asian riff, the Oriental riff, or even the Orientalist riff, if you're wanting to emphasize the reasons why this melody is problematic. The melody predates Kung Fu Fighting, by which I mean the song Kung Fu Fighting and not, like, fighting using kung fu, just to be clear, and it predates that song by at least a few decades. There are old black and white cartoons going back to at least the 30s where you can hear it, and hear it in an Asian context. And I guess I should explain that, just for the sake of argument, when I say it, I refer to a song that is used to signify some sort of Asianness, and starts out with four of the same notes in a row, do-do-do-do, like that, and that is also written in the pentatonic scale. As you might be able to guess by the name, the pentatonic scale uses a 5-note octave instead of the 7-note octave that we are used to using in Western music, that octave being A, B, C, D, E, F, G. It's more common in the music of Asia and West Africa, which is to say that to someone unfamiliar with it, it would sound perhaps exotic, or might be something they associate with, like, over there, which is a way your elderly relative might refer to that part of the world. The earliest instance of anything like this that anyone's found so far is an 1847 musical titled The Grand Chinese Spectacle of Aladdin, or The Wonderful Lamp, in a song called The Aladdin Quickstep. A Swedish researcher named Martin Nilsson was the first to take note of it, and he posted it on the website chinoiserie.artspace.com. Chinoiserie, by the way, is a French word that means Chinese-ish or Chinese-esque, I guess, and in English refers to stuff that might actually be from China, but also might be Chinese-ish and inspired by China, but like filtered through European culture or American culture, and maybe not even Chinese at all. Have a listen to the part of the Aladdin Quickstep I'm referring to. It's not exactly it, but it's very close. Also, in case you're wondering why a play about Aladdin would take place in China, know that in the original telling of the story, Aladdin did not live in the Middle East. Aladdin was Chinese, which is weird to think about because the story is still full of, like, genies and things we associate with, like, Arabian folklore. And it has those things because it is a Middle Eastern story. But even at the time it was told back in the day, it still had to be set in an exotic location to make all the magic seem, I guess, believable? I guess anyone living in their own culture knows, well, we don't have all this magic, but maybe someone who lives in a different culture might. And that is another example of, like, the practice of making another culture far off to seem exotic, or just different. Othering is the term that people often use for it. And also, we still kind of do that today. So, that Aladdin musical was written by Thomas Comer, who was born in Britain and was probably just employing an idiom that already existed when he wrote that song, but he's as far back as anyone has traced it so far. That Swedish researcher, Martin Nilsson, doesn't seem to think that the composition originated in China or anywhere in Asia. He's quoted in that NPR segment, describing the melody as a caricature of how Westerners think Chinese music would sound. Which is kind of an ouch to hear, because the implication is that some white dude was like, hey, I can imagine what music in China sounds like. You know what? I think I got this. I think I made better Chinese music than someone in China would even make. Yeah, I'm good with this. And then everyone who was listening to it was like, yeah, that sounds good to me, for all I know, and didn't ask a Chinese person if, like, that is actually what Chinese music sounds like. Something like that. That didn't actually literally happen, but that's the idea. And then people just kept doing it, and it got pretty much standardized, and then people were using it without questioning it in cartoons and pop songs and finally video games like Super Mario Land. You may be thinking, why is Drew talking about this? And also, why isn't he talking about video games? I'm getting there. here's why I wanted to talk about this subject on my video game music podcast. Number one, until I heard this NPR segment, I never questioned the melody's Asian-ness. I just heard it throughout my life and heard it often enough that I knew what it meant without ever questioning why it meant that. And when I learned that there was, like, a term for it, and also that it probably didn't originate in Asia at all, it was kind of a mind-blowing moment. So at the very least, if, like, you were not aware of this concept until now, I wanted to share with you this minorly mind-blowing news. Number two. The big reason I never questioned it is that I never learned about Chinese music, traditional or modern. Had I done so, it might have occurred to me that, hey, it's weird how we use this melody to signify Asian-ness and it doesn't sound anything like Asia. Number three. It's maybe especially bad that Westerners use it to refer to China or Japan interchangeably. I mean, we might have used it to refer to other Asian cultures, like maybe it was used to signify Korea or Vietnam at some point. I just couldn't find examples of those, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least. To me, the implication is that we, by which I mean Westerners that don't know anything about Asian culture, which we'll just say probably white people, were like, yeah, it's basically all the same over there, right? Like, Asian is Asian, and that's as far as you're going to take it. Like, the whole continent is a big P.F. Chang buffet, for all you care. And here's number four. The weirdest part of all this is that the Chai Kingdom theme from Super Mario Land was composed by a Japanese person. That means that this melody originated in Europe or maybe the US, and then rose to prominence in Europe or America as a means to convey Asian identity, however vaguely or incorrectly, and then it traveled back to Asia, in this case specifically Japan. So the melody is in Japan now, and Hirokazu Tanaka apparently knew that it existed because he wrote it into the song. However, even though people in the West were using it interchangeably for China and Japan, Hirokazu Tanaka, being Japanese, was like, oh, well, I know this isn't a Japanese thing because it doesn't sound Japanese because I live in Japan and I study music and I know what Japanese music sounds like, but was apparently okay with saying that it was a Chinese melody, I guess. Or is just riffing on this pop culture notion that he might have known was wrong, but who knows. So then he wrote the song, and then Nintendo released the game, and then I played it back in America. And this concept is literally crisscrossing the globe again and again and again. And young me thought the song was very, very catchy, but didn't ever think about why that melody was considered Asian, or what that melody even meant. Chinese motifs are actually really common in Japanese video games. Lots of games have Chinese-themed stages, and it occurred to me that I have no idea if any of that music is anywhere close to authentic to the culture it's purporting to represent. And then I think about how, like, games like Street Fighter kinda sorta feature world music that's supposed to represent whatever nation of the world you're fighting in, but I wonder how much of it is anything close to authentic, and how much of it is just, like the Swedish guy said, a caricature of what someone thinks that music might sound like. Like, the two flavors of desert music we get in video games are either Latin, and it sounds like a mariachi band, I guess, or Arabian-ish, even though it's usually with a sitar and a tabla, and aren't those actually Indian instruments? And then I think about Chun-Li's stage from Street Fighter 2, which has music that doesn't actually use that Asian riff at all, but I've just heard a million times, and I have to ask, wait, is that anything close to what Chinese music sounds like? What's the reference here? I don't know. I would imagine someone who knows about Chinese music could sift through the many representations of China in video games and say, yeah, this composer did her homework, or this composer just made something up. If you are that person and you know a thing about Chinese music, I kind of want to talk to you. Like, seriously, if you are this person and you're listening right now, I'm actually going to present you with an opportunity to hear a lot of music that is riffing on some sort of Chinese theme, authentic or not. I'm finishing this episode with a little playlist of Chinese-ish music from video games. I've been saving them in a Google Doc where I keep all my episode ideas, and this one has just been called China by Way of Japan, and I've been trying to think of a way to present this music that would be interesting, and in the end, the only way I feel comfortable doing it is by not really weighing in on it in the end, because I'm not an authority and I don't know what I'm talking about. But I do think it's super interesting, and I'd like to hear from someone who does know what's going on, who can tell me how authentically these tracks might convey a sense of China, or how many of them are just fake as do 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 The first track you're going to hear is the theme of the Chinese character Fo from the first Toshinden game. It's composed by Yasuhiro Nakano. But I'm not going to be interrupting between tracks to introduce the rest. And if you want to see the full track listing, just check the episode description or go to singingmountainpod.com. Enjoy. And that's it. I thought Dragon Drift Away from Mario Kart 8 was a nice track to end on, but then again, depending on how you feel about authenticity and how well you know Chinese music, you might feel differently. That's about as far as I can take this one. Thanks for letting me go on about a topic that involves video game music, but is also bigger than video game music. If you were expecting me to get to a big single conclusion, I'm sorry. I did not do that. Someone who is smarter than I am can do that, or like write a thesis paper about it. Again, if you are the person who would write that thesis paper, I'd be interested in hearing what you think. From my limited perspective, I feel like I have to leave it at this. Cultural exchange is complex and layered and super interesting, and perhaps something that appears slightly different to everyone who is looking at it based on their nationality and their personal experience. Which is to say, I don't know. But I am down to learn. You can subscribe to Singing Mountain on any of the places you would normally find a podcast. Like, don't look for Singing Mountain under your bed with the dust bunnies, because it won't be there, but it'll be on Google Play. Look for us there. You can also follow Singing Mountain on the social media. I'm on Facebook and Instagram as Singing Mountain Pod, and I'm on Twitter at SingMopod, SingMopod. You can also contact me on Twitter at my personal account, Drew G. Mackey. M-A-C-K-I-E. I have one last track for you, and it's from a game I didn't know existed until just like last week, when I was going through my backlog of old VGM podcasts, and I found a Legacy Music Hour from 2012 that featured Asian-inspired music. It's actually called Asiatic music, and it's not really what we call it anymore, but it's a mix of things that evoke Japan and things that evoke China. Part of the reason I love VGM podcasts is that they can sometimes be the only way I would be introduced to a video game that never came out in the United States, and this is an example of that. The music you're going to hear comes from an otherwise inaccessible game called Sangokushi Retsuden, and it's a simulation strategy game set in China, released for the Mega Drive only in Japan and Hong Kong. Also, interestingly, unknown composer. No found composer for this, but I really like the track. I don't know if it's authentic or not, but there is something charming about it. The track is titled China Unified, and yeah, seemed like the right note to end on. Or is it? I don't know, but have a listen to it and decide for yourself. See ya.
geek!